make sure if everyone can make sure that they are muted.
Okay, my name's Amy. I'm a recovered alcoholic, compulsive eater, and Al-Anon codependent. So, yeah, it was funny because I originally, Lonnie told me I forget what the other topic was supposed to be. I know you just said it, but, and I was like, yeah. And then she said, oh, spiritual malady. I was like, yes, I love the spiritual malady. To me, I mean, the spiritual malady saved my life, which sounds kind of weird because it was killing me, but it saved my life because, you know, I was about nearly 20 years sober and abstinent. And I had, you know, I just didn't understand what was wrong with me. You know, everybody around me in 12-step programs, they just, I had everything I was supposed to. You know, I came into AA with nothing. And then, you know, I got a degree and a job and a husband and a house and some kids. And I never knew. I don't know if I missed the message or what happened, but somehow the message I heard when I first got here was that I give God my alcohol and my food, and then I just sort the rest myself. And so, you know, I did that, ran on self-will for all those years. And, you know, when I first, and when I was just on my knees, I was suicidal actually. And, I reached out to a friend of mine who'd been the opposite. She had, she never managed to sort of get the outside things that I had, like her inner crazy showed, I guess you could call it. And so when I saw her, you know, things happening in her life that I'd never known her to be able to do before, I was like, you know, what is she doing? It was a miracle. You know, she was my Abby. And so when I reached out to her and we started doing this work, I just, when we got to this portion of the chapter, and of course I'd never also had it explained to me the idea that I have a physical allergy. I mean, I was quite clear that I had that. I absolutely knew that, you know, it, when I took in my substances, that I had absolutely no control. And then the mental obsession, that bit I wasn't as familiar with. That was a bit more subtle. But boy, when we got to the spiritual malady, it was just such an exact description of how I had been in recovery for almost 20 years and just had come to that point where I there was a certain bridge I had to stop driving over because I was afraid I was just going to turn the car and go off the bridge because I was just so desperate and so desperate for nothing I could put my finger on. You know, like I said, my life looked a lot worse when I was, you know, drinking or eating or whatever. But the thing was that, and they talk about that too, don't they? You know, that's treating when I'm using a substance, I'm treating that spiritual malady and it works to a degree. It kills me, but it works. Whereas, you know, I just had so long just dry and thinking that maybe God, maybe I was just something wrong with me. Maybe I was just never going to get it. That these other people quite clearly, you know, I was missing some sort of gene for recovery. So when we got to this portion of the book and we're reading the spiritual malady, it was just like, oh my God, you know, that was my life day in and day out at the end. It was just, I woke up in the morning, I was in the spiritual malady. You know, there was not one of these, you know, one of these that I wasn't in virtually 98% of the day in and day out. And you know, it's like, it's no wonder I was suicidal. It's no wonder I saw no purpose and no way to go on. So I'll just read a few of them just for the people, I think, for whoever hasn't done this yet, just so they know what we're talking about for spiritual malady. I think Lisa was new, but they're on page 62. And it says, where is it? What page is it on? Because I'm like having a menopause moment. Is it 52? Yes, it's 52. Why did I say 62? We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to people. Was not a basic solution for these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. And that was such a great thing. It was just an explanation that I understood, that this thing, this spiritual malady, exists when I am in untreated disease, you know, and it exists whether I'm using the substance or not using the substance. And that the only cure for it, you know, is then we go on to in step two is a power higher than myself. But, and it was just, you know, I didn't have a personal relationship. I was married and my marriage was a shambles, and, you know, controlling my emotional nature, even if I could like pretend I was happy or pretend I wasn't mad, on the inside I still was all stirred up. And, you know, just the mornings of waking up and thinking, oh crap, another day, and the fear, you know, it was just all of this, and it was what, you know, made me hit a bottom in sobriety, you know, that I didn't even know that you could do that. I thought, you know, you were sober and that was it. Tick the box and you sort of go on. And then when I look at this, that God is the solution, that my only protection from this malady and from living in it every day is that God comes in, you know, and relieves me of it. It's cast out. It's not something I have to work on. And I think that was a relief, because the other thing was, I was really tired when I got here. You know, I'd been running on self-will as best I could for so long, trying to change all of this and getting nowhere. And I just didn't have, you know, if I'd have had to, I don't know, you know, how to be a good person or how to get rid of fear, whatever. I didn't have anything left in me to do it. You know, I didn't have any energy to do it. And it was a great place to be. I mean, they call it in the book, the gift of desperation. And all I had to do was just look at that and have the awareness that, yes, this is my life. This is spiritual malady. And then it says that, you know, we see others solve their problems by a reliance upon the spirit of the universe. And that was just such a, I don't know why I never got that, you know, that my whole life needed to go to God, but I didn't. I just thought, you know, the alcohol and the food would go to God and I'd sort the rest. And, you know, I knew people that said I couldn't remember sitting and listening to somebody share, and they were saying, oh yeah, I just popped into the bathroom to pray. And I thought, God, what kind of a life do you have where you think of praying, you know, during the day? I just, that was a concept. And I thought, you know, and then of course my self-will comes in. I'm thinking of all these ways I could get myself to pray during the day. Maybe I could put up post-it notes or set alarms on my phone. And the thing is, not that those things aren't helpful, especially, but the point is that there's not a point, a day goes by now that I don't touch base with God probably multiple times. I mean, there's formal stuff I do, although I have to be honest, I don't do that every day as much as I would like to, but it doesn't matter, because at every point, you know, not every point, but at multiple points throughout the day, I access God, even if it's just thinking about, you know, what would God have me do, or saying a little prayer, or, you know, thinking of how I could help someone else. Like, I love this, we couldn't seem to be of real help. You know, I probably thought I was a very helpful person, but, you know, being of real help is a different thing, that it's what do other people actually need, not what I think they need or what I think will fix them. So, you know, just all those things now are second nature. And again, second nature without me having to, well, white knuckle it, you know, make it happen in my life. It's just because, you know, the first time I went through the big book work, I would say I was in the spiritual malady like maybe 20, 30% of the time. I went from like 98 down to 20 or 30. And then the second time I went through, that probably went down to the teens. And, you know, it drops every time I do this work. I learn more, I get more God, essentially, you know, more gets removed, more gets revealed. I mean, just today I had this amazing awareness. I did a little meditation with somebody. Thanks, Lanny. Did this little meditation I had this amazing insight that was something straight from God that I'd never thought of in my whole 50 plus years and that had been troubling me probably since I was 4 years old. And, you know, that's not me. That's me removing the things that block me from God, and then God coming in and sorting out the spiritual malady, you know, protecting me. So, and I think that it says our ideas did not work, the God idea did. And I think that was the other thing, because before, God was very abstract. And I love that BBA, God's very practical. You know, the things that God does in my life today are things that work and that I can see, that I can give concrete examples of times when something I'd done the same way 100 times, suddenly, you know, it just came to me, you know, like a God consciousness to do it a different way. Or, you know, it's very applicable. It's not sort of sitting on a mountain and meditating for 10 hours a day. It's how do I deal with, you know, an upset teenager? Or how do I deal with a fight with my husband? You know, where's money going to come from? Or how should we spend it if we have it? It's, you know, it's guidance like that. And that's what comes through when I'm not, you know, living in all of these bedevilments, we call them. I can't remember why we call them that. I don't see it in the book here, but I think that it's because BBA is so much a program of just removing what doesn't need to be there and isn't supposed to be there. And I think that's a big part of what makes it effortless in some ways, is because, you know, I don't know, I don't get philosophical. I don't know if we're born with spiritual malady or if we develop it or which chicken or the egg, but whatever it is, I don't think God or your higher power, whoever, means us to be that way. I think that there's a natural, it's kind of like a plant wants to grow towards sunlight. I think we want to grow towards God, and that for whatever reason, you know, they say that somewhere else, don't they? Pomp and circumstance get in the way. Calamity and chaos are another ones they say. But, you know, all of those things caused me to turn away from that which was inside of me already. And I mean, the gifts of this BBA program, I feel a little wordless, I guess, because I just want to convey how important it's been to me and how much it's changed my life in the, I think it's been about 7 or 8 years I've been doing it now. And, you know, I don't think I could have said that before. I'm now 30 years sober, but I think at my 7th or 8th year sober, I know that I couldn't have said that my life was just getting better and better. You know, that wasn't where I was at. In fact, I can remember about that time sitting in step studies and just wondering what was wrong with me. You know, why do I still feel like this on the inside? I don't drink, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I just still felt the spiritual malady was just stronger than me. And it always will be, you know, it's always going to need higher power intervention. So I think that's all I've got. Hopefully someone can spark off of that. And that's all.
Thank you so much, Amy. That was great. So I guess we can turn off our recording at this time. And